24-210, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Hoskin. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at
6:37.
6:37 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. We have resolution 24-211. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held April 16, 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. We'll start with the roll call once again for the open session.
Councilor Morley Hoskin.
Ina Watkinson, Clerk Administrator.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Mike Heckman.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit and work towards truth and reconciliation. Okay, nothing for public meetings. We have delegations and presentations. We have the road allowance closure application for road allowance between lots 25 and 26, concession 9, Keller. That's Andre Snurdinson, I think. If you wish to go to the microphone. And
today's it's more like a clarification, because you hopefully remember where you decided to close an open road between lot 25 and 26. Now we're finally moving through this process, and two components related to clarifications. Surveyor asked to clarify the closure of this road with the boundaries type of description. That's why I provided that. He's asking in my email. So essentially, it is consistent with what we discussed, closure of the road between 25 and 26, excluding Fox Farm Road. So that with description like that, it's very easy and clear boundaries and easy to exclude. Second piece, also in October, when we, you guys agreed to sell it, we agreed to engage lawyer to engage neighbor into participation or not participation in the purchase, and that was the scope of engagement of the lawyer. Back in February, it took a little while, she completed that process, so again, we're good there. But as part of this engagement, comes to my attention that her scope is ballooning, I guess, but I don't have any visibility of what is going on. I mean, she's referring to some admin stuff being done by a lawyer and stuff like that, so I just would like to compared to previously closed roads, because I talked to a couple of folks before engaging in this process, and I kind of had a directional cost from them, how much it will cost. That's why I moved forward. But now when admin stuff is done by $400 per hour lawyer, it might change the whole dynamic. So, and I'm not saying that's the case. I just don't have any information, and just I would like to clarify what has changed, because it's kind of scary when she's saying, "Oh, now I'm developing procedure for the township." And whatever. If it's a separate engagement, that's fine. But again, I just don't have information. So essentially, there's two clarifications. First is just for the surveyor boundary-based description, and some clarification on engagement of the lawyer outside of what we agreed, which is the letter of engagement with the neighbor.
Okay. As you know, we don't very often close road allowances and sell them, so it's not a procedure that we had in place. It hasn't happened very often over the years, and I think in the 20-some years I've been here, it's only happened a couple of times. Now, it's happened more recently, just one on Burnett's Road, mm-hmm. where that was done, and I realize what you're saying about our procedural bylaw that one is put in place in January, and yours preceded that actual bylaw. And so I guess what I would ask of Carly, whether what was the numbered company, I guess back then, Roberts, but on Burnett's Road, what that person had to go through to stop up, close, and sell that road allowance, and whether the same procedure is being used for the Fox Farm one, or whether we're incorporating now some new things that that person didn't have to do. So I don't know whether you can clarify, I think, to help Mr. Snernitzen.
That's exactly what they ask. If it's the same, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I have no problem with that. But the point is, you engage the lawyers, she does not talk to me at all. She just snippets of information, which kind of concerning. But if it's clarification that it's going to be the same process and she's doing some stuff for you as a township, not for me, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
The same procedure was used for the numbered company Mayor Moore's referencing on Burnett's Road as what we're moving forward with your property. It's hard to compare two closures because their scenarios can be different. So your property is unique in that it has an easement running through it. So that's an additional process that we didn't have to do with the numbered companies. But otherwise, it's the same. The instructions to surveyor would be the same. A reference plan's provided. We have to give notice to utilities, and then they come back and say if they require an easement. All the processes are the same. We have to have a public meeting presenting the bylaw. There really are no differences with the procedure, but things may change depending on the nature of the closure.
What do you mean nature of the closure? I mean, there's no unknowns so far. The only piece which was unknown is engagement of a neighbor, Olakov, so which we cleared.
But there'll be a process for the easement for the neighbor to continue the easement over into their property. And
right.
With the location of this closure, we are unsure if the utilities will need easements as well. Like one being Hydro, we don't know if Hydro One will request any easements. We don't know that until the letter is issued to them.
Did you ask for the same easement clarification from Hydro One for other closures?
Yes, it's a standard procedure.
Okay. Then again, my point is, if it's standard, if we're not replacing more like clerical job with a $400 lawyer, then I'm totally fine with that. So again, that's the clarification I was looking for. Okay, great. So again, I'm not asking for any additional information or approvals, is just a clarification to make sure we're on the same page. And again, as I mentioned, we engaged a surveyor. In 2 weeks, he will produce a plan, so I'll present it. The only thing is he asked for that clarification, so it's very clear that we have to adopt it. That's it. And thank you.
Yeah, and we've discovered too that anytime you contact the solicitor, you know, it costs. And
exactly.
It's certainly not cheap. So, and time. Time is a concern too, even with the council and things that we expect from people with contractors and things like that, and everything seems to drag on and on and on until they find the time. So it's not unusual, I don't think, what you're going through. And the easements, I think this is the special case, as you said, to the Solway property. That does add another little wrinkle to this to make sure that that's all carried out. So and it's extended, I guess. It's extended.
Yeah,
it so, yeah.
No dispute there. And that's exactly it. The surveyor who did the lot previously, he actually suggested to clarify that. So the council, to make sure it is written so we don't go into the loops.
Right.
With the lawyers and just like constantly billing, because again, I'm not saying that lawyers would like to bill. I'm not saying that.
No.
Okay.
I appreciate the clarification there.
Yeah. But I assume it's consistent with overall understanding.
Yeah, I think that's what we were after too, that there was nothing special being added here.
Okay.
Except for, let's just say, the easement, something unique.
Yeah,
so.
And it is part of it, so the easement is not a problem. So, again, Carly, if it's possible to send a clarification to the lawyer so she can include it, that it's a boundary-driven closure road excluding Fox Farm.
Private road, that
yeah,
Fox
yeah.
Farm private road, perfect. Yeah.
Can you provide me with specific verbiage?
Yeah, like two lines which included an email, that's exactly what it is. So it's specifically saying unopened road between lot 25 and 26, excluding
And that is clear in the directions to surveyor.
No, it's not. So it's different. So that's exactly what it should be there. Okay, so again, I assume council is like in agreement with that, so that's...
I can say that this template has been given to multiple surveyors or multiple municipalities, and no one has questioned it before. And like Jennifer Biggert said to you, if your surveyor does have issues through her, they will get clarification from the township, being council, as to how to proceed forward.
Okay. It's not about template. It's a direct direction to the surveyor. And that's line. It has nothing to do with template. It has everything to do with actual what surveyor is doing. Closing the road, excluding box line.
Correct.
So that's,
and that
that's
has
direct.
Been
template related. Can be used exactly the same. Please continue using exactly the same. Everything is standard. This line, that's what actual surveyor is using. And that's exactly the point he told me, that if lawyer will tell, oh, just contact me. He said, I will contact her. She will put me through a spin because she doesn't like to bill. And he told me specifically, just clarify it, and you will eliminate gazillion back and forth. Okay?
The township and the law firm are working effectively to ensure that we are not, you know, providing, you know, billing, having extra billable hours. I believe the instructions to surveyor has been clear. If your surveyor is able to provide us with further information as to what he needs, please forward it.
Provided it. So again, that's exactly what I'm asking here. So I'm standing in front of you and asking for one line clarification to put in a, so surveyor can close, draft the plan of an open road between 25-26 excluding Fox Farm.
And
that's it.
Ms. Bigger did add that in to say that if any part of the blue portion highlighted does cross over the traveled portion of Fox Farm Road, that be excluded from the reference plan.
Okay. So is it possible to include this line into instruction to the surveyor?
It sounds like it is included.
No, it's not. So we went, that's the problem why I'm here. We have four emails back and forth with the lawyer, and she's constantly changing it. And the surveyor said, give me this line, and that's it. There is no further calls to the lawyer needed. Like, it's all I need. That's why I'm here, because I don't want to play the game. We already have like four emails with the lawyer, and again, I don't want to go this route. That's why I'm asking if my process is consistent, and that's this clarification from the surveyor, who is actually going to do the work, will significantly simplify the process. So,
can we get Mr. Schneritzen to actually write down what he had said? All we've got in front of us right now, instructions to surveyor from Russell Christie. And I'm wondering if he could add in, would you mind writing in?
Oh, it's not part of the package?
So the last instructions to surveyor that were sent.
No, have you included what I sent?
I can pull it up.
Because that was the whole point of this. I'm not sure why it's not included. I sent, that was the point of this meeting, and I sent specifically 2 points. That's strange.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we got the email.
It was sent in advance.
This one? So those are the instructions.
Could you please open and share on the screen?
I can't share on the screen. Okay, so from your email, could you please add the following 2 separate agenda items for next, or sorry, no, that's not the right one.
Yeah, that's
the portion of the road allowance which is proposed by the applicant to be transferred is between lot 25 and 26, concession 9, excluding road allowance for the existing Fox Farm Road. Directionally, it's shown in blue on the attached sketch, and I believe that is in the directions to surveyor. And secondly...
Would you mind to share it on the screen?
I'm sorry, I can't share it on screen, but I can print it off for council, but it is included in the instructions to survey.
No, it's not.
Is it printing? I can't get the printer to hook up to my laptop.
Okay.
us is that we take your comments, your instructions, and include those from what the lawyer is sending to the surveyor.
So the survey asked, like, can you please include this 2 lines?
Yeah.
That's it. One is clarification of legal, you can follow. And the first one, surveyor asked counsel to clarify instructions with the ease for, and specifically in brackets, in quotes. So the portion of the road allowance, it's very similar to, anyway, would you mind to print it, because that's...
Jennifer Bigger responded to you that the legal description of the road allowance, including the law and concession references, is included in the line regarding the... line of our instructions,
so I'm not sure,
and they have added a defined term for additional clarity. And then they also added a paragraph which is included in this direction.
Is it possible to actually print the agenda item which you submitted a week in advance, and you confirm that it will be included? Could you please include or print it out? I will wait, because that's a critical piece. Surveyor told me, like, what you experiencing is a lawyer's spin. So yeah, unless you...
So
anyways,
please don't put a false narrative in the public
fine.
Saying
could,
that.
Could you please print
I will
it?
Go print it.
Thank you.
So we're sitting here in the middle, hearing that the solicitor, that's the way I'm interpreting it anyway, has said that your concerns are incorporated and you're saying they're not.
It's not mine, it's like... So
or your surveyor.
Yeah, exactly. So
okay.
Is it, like, don't play this game, just put this extra line saying, between 2 lots, excluding Fox Farm. That's it. Like, that's all he needs.
Yeah.
Don't play this game, because we already have 4 emails back and forth, and he's stopped. Yeah, he's stopped. Yeah, he will, like, she will bill you constantly, you will never... I'm not sure why the resistance here, because we're supposed to be on the same page. But anyway, my point is, he asked me, like, just put this line... It's consistent with what was agreed. Just put it, that's it.
Okay.
And in 2 weeks it's going to be ready, and we'll continue going through the... by the way, the processes after that, it's going to be assessed for cost-wise, price-wise. I'm not sure. That's the next step, I guess?
Right.
Okay.
The appraisal, yes.
Appraisal, yeah.
That's usually difficult even for an appraiser, because you have to find comparable property sort of thing.
Yeah.
And well, that would be good, I think, if we can get a copy of your email. We didn't see that, so.
Yeah, that's spelled. Shouldn't be a problem as long as we're in agreement that we're closing the road between 2 lots, excluding Fox Farm. Okay,
right.
That's all it is. Thank you.
Yes.
No, that's not what I sent. So you're printing the wrong email.
But it does have what
you printed. You printed wrong email for some reason. Not the one I sent you, which you just read.
Can you forward it to me now?
You just read it. Please add 2 agenda items. I'm not sure what's going on. You just read it.
Okay, there's nothing nefarious here. We just have to get the procedure.
So, but
yeah,
this...
Okay, so...
Just let me find it.
So this does have the verbiage that you would want included, though, correct? In the middle of the email?
So
the portion of the road allowance which is proposed by the applicant is to be transferred is between lot 25 and lot 26, excluding road allowance for the existing Fox Farm Road, directionally it known in blue on the attached sketch.
Okay, as long as we're can you please add this one?
Correct. That is the verbiage that you're wanting in that direction.
Okay. That's what the survey wants, yeah.
So just to be clear, we don't need your actual email where you spell it out?
No, it's exactly, it's quick.
It's here, okay.
In quotes.
Now, is that something we would send over to?
I can send to Jennifer.
To Jennifer, then?
And she's received multiple times, as you can see in the next email.
It was sent to her at least 3 times, and she, you know, bottom line is, as long as she's instructed, that's not a problem. Okay, that's pretty much it. So, thank you for clarification on engagement of the lawyer, and thank you for streamlining the engagement with the lawyer. So, this instruction will be included, right? So, I guess we're in agreement that between 25 and 26, excluding post one.
Yep. It has to be approved by a lawyer first, right?
Well, it has been sent to the lawyer.
Okay.
Okay. So make sure that you'll be in contact with her tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We have resolution 24-212, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Hassman. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Andre Snernitsyn with regards to the road allowance closure application he filed with the Township to stop up and close portions of the road allowance between lots 25 and 26, concession 9, McKellar. Any further discussion on that? Call the question then. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-213, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby moved into Committee of the Whole at 6:59 p.m. to discuss the proposed fire permitting system with Fire Chief Robert Morrison. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay. You've already given us a spiel before, but maybe just summarize again where we're at and what you're looking for.
So my proposal, my recommendation is that the Township of McKellar move towards an electronic burn permit distribution system. This distribution system also doubles, and one of its major advantages is that it acts as a communication system, so that residents of the township will have an automatic message sent to their email or to their text to their phone. When changes in the fire danger rating occur, as to the recommendations from the Ministry of Natural Resources. The other advantage is that we can use this from an emergency preparedness perspective, where we can send emergency communications to all residents who have registered for a burn permit let's say, if we had a wildfire in an area, or if we had a flood in an area, and a road was washed out or something, we can convey that issue to our residents very quickly, very easily, with no extra effort on their part, in order to get that information out and give people the best possible up-to-date information. Okay. At no point in time, unfortunately, we got cut off with time the last time we were here, and we didn't get to cover the entire my recommendations and findings with the burn bylaw, which. As I first brought this forward back in 2023, there are some things that I think we need to change. My recommendations when adopting this system would be to make those changes and thus get rid of the ambiguity that we do have currently within our burn bylaw. So should council decide not to pursue the electronic burn permit issue, then at that point in time, I can make the recommendation at any time. There are certain changes that I feel are very imperative to make so that the bylaw is more effective. Regardless of any of that, I have proposed the electronic burn permit system to distribute burn permits throughout the township, very easy to use, and free of charge. At no point in time do I ever have the plan to charge for a permit. That type of thing would have to go through council anyways. If we were going to institute a fee for a burn permit, it needed to be voted on. So, and it does not significantly change the rights or the abilities of the people within this township in terms of burning, according to the current bylaw in this form.
Okay, I just had a question that probably predates you, I guess, the actual bylaw that we have now.
Yes,
I know 2019. There was 2019, and then there was an amendment that you put in 2023.
So we quickly put in an amendment in 2023 that covered the RFZ.
Right.
We hadn't had a declared RFZ, and it wasn't accounted for in the bylaw as is. When I was doing the examination of the bylaw at that time, and we put the RFZ amendment, there were a few things that poked up in terms of ambiguities within the bylaw that I think would make it easier to understand and more user-friendly that I think that we need to pursue. And this, the introduction of this platform just provided an opportunity to do it all at once.
Okay, again, we've got a couple of counselors who served on the previous council when 2019 came into place. I guess I'll let them speak for themselves. They were a bit concerned about the permit system that didn't exist before and where this came from, I guess. And I don't know whether you've got a good memory of when that came in. I noticed that the name on the document was a previous bylaw enforcement, Gary Joyce.
Yes.
And yes. And I'm not sure whether the fire chief at the time had input as well. I assume he did. But
I don't know where you were in your fire chief.
Right.
Position at that time. I wasn't here, obviously. But yes, there was a bylaw in 2018.
Right.
And then the introduction of the permit and the permitting fees came into 2019.
Right.
So that was passed by whoever was here at the time, obviously.
Yeah.
So
that's why I'd like to just get some information from those who were here and where that came from and whether there's any discussion at that time with the permit, because it was something new to the township, certainly. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but
yeah, I don't really recall there being a proposal for permits, at least something that was serious at all that I can recall. I think this is our first serious proposal to look at the permit system.
But it wasn't a 2019 one, so it was here before council before.
Mm-hmm.
And was there any discussion at that time of the permit system, Councillor Keck?
Yeah, so prior to, and I have to agree, there's ambiguity in the bylaws. It's sitting there discussing it 2018, 2019, things might have made sense, but looking back at it now, I can see there's a lot of ambiguity, particularly with permits, because prior to that, there was no requirement for permit if you were burning within the guideline time periods. But then there was an increase in amount of requests for having sort of like bonfires on township property at events like McKellar Market, different events, so that there was wording added in here that a permit was required to have I have it noted in one of the where permits. In one of the copies I have it here anyways, and it talks about a permit on public lands was in 2018 was the wording. And then when it was reviewed in 2019, well, we have no control over the Crown lands, so the wording was changed to municipal lands.
Township lands.
Township
rights.
I believe it's 3.0 township lands.
Township
3.1 general provisions under general provisions. No person shall set, maintain, permit, or cause to be maintained an open air fire on township lands without a current permit.
So that was previously public lands. Because of the requests to have campfire type events on township property.
Yes.
But prior to that, there was never any requirement for burning permits.
Mm-hmm.
So now this, when you read it, it seems like no person shall set, maintain, permit, or cause to be set or maintain an open air fire on township land. So that someone may perceive that as being the entire township. That was never the spirit or intent of what was put in there.
Without a valid permit.
Without a valid permit.
Yes.
Because there was no requirements for permits.
Prior to 2019, correct?
Yes. So that certainly has to be sorted out because it presents the illusion that you are required to have a, exactly as it reads there, a permit to set or maintain an open air fire on township lands. And so
I'm thinking that's exactly where Mr. Morris is going, I think, is that he wants the permit system, right, for all types of, even campfires.
Okay, so straight up, since 2019, we've had a permit system.
Right.
This has put a permit system into place.
Yeah.
In fact, if you read the definition of camp, recreational fire, and then read the definition of open air fire includes camp and recreational fire. According to this bylaw, every time you have a campfire, you require a burn permit.
That's
so.
That's why I wanted to ask the previous councilors if they realize
that. The acceptable standard, the way that we have been enforcing this, the way that we that it was passed down to me by my predecessors, is that we don't enforce the campfire permit. Everybody can have a campfire during the time, because that was apparently the intention of the bylaw all along, was to say that. However, clearly doesn't say that. Permit system was in regards to daytime burning, because you can't burn between 10 and 6 because we struggle to get volunteers during that time, and also debris burning. And so unfortunately what we didn't get to in the last meeting was that point, but also I've tried to upgrade the definitions to include seasonal permit, so that you do it once, January 1st, you're good till the end of the year, you know, for campfires. And then when it comes to 24-hour debris permits, I've termed it as 24-hour debris permits, where it is known that you have to go on the day of to register for that burn permit. No different than the gentleman who texted me today to say, I'd like to burn it, such and such an address. And I, hold on a second, let me go. And I said, right now I'm just doing it the antiquated way of, now I have to go over here and check with MNRA, and I have to go over here and check what this says. Check the weather report to see if it's going to increase in wind or anything like that. And then I can distribute a copy of the bylaw, distribute a copy of the bylaw cheat sheet, and text to him a burn permit for a 24-hour period. And I send a message to all my guys and let them know that this person at this address has a burn permit that's good for daytime burning today. If he wants to continue tomorrow, we do the whole thing over again. Right? Which is great if I'm home. It's great if I'm here. But it's a many-step process. The process that I'm proposing doesn't change their rights under the bylaw. It just means that they can go on and do it themselves. And they will automatically get the updates, or they'll automatically get told, no, sorry, the FDR has increased overnight, and you can no longer get a debris permit because we're at a high. So, and again, I don't set the FDRs. I set them for the township, but they're completely based on the Ministry of Natural Resources recommendations.
But the fire danger rating, I mean, that's something that goes public as well, right? So the public.
Absolutely,
will know.
Yeah. So CTV News, the chief of Carlin distributes it to all the news agencies in the area, and then each individual township fire chief distributes it however we can throughout the area via our FDR signs, billboard, township website, Instagram for us in our case, we use quite a bit. To send it out. Thursdays is when we mostly do the update. They do a guaranteed update every Thursday. And then if it changes, they do that update. But at the current time, if I give you that permit in the morning and things change, it's completely incumbent upon the resident to know that that's changed. The way the bylaw is written and the way that we term it, it's up to them to keep apprised of what happens. So if the wind picks up, they need to check again. You know? Instead of me having to hunt down everybody. So, I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
But that's a responsibility of everyone being a responsible
100%.
Individual having any type of fire.
Absolutely.
That they're constantly cognizant of, you know, and have situational awareness of what's going on. So,
I agree.
And the fire danger rating, it's not like the stock market. It's not changing by the second. So, it's not as if a person has to be watching their cell phone, you know. Or keeping a track, you know, it's reviewed weekly, as you say, by the fire chiefs and the MNRF. Last year, we had a very dry start to the season. during the entire course of last year, the fire danger rating changed 5 times.
Correct, because it was an RFZ for about a month and a half. We took out half the summer.
So you know, to somehow that people need to be monitoring by the second, that's not...
I'm not trying to relay that. I'm not trying to give that impression whatsoever. I'm just saying, if the wind picks up, it's up to you to check. You know, and that can happen at any time during the day. It's just saying the responsibility is borne by the resident in those circumstances with the current permit system the way it is.
No.
We have the, you know, several other places in the area that use the electronic burn permit system, and it's always been well received. I'm aware that Whitestone has had it since before it was Whitestone, essentially. Paris Sound has it. And the particular platform that I'm recommending, because it syncs with our application that we use for our emergency operations center as well as the fire department, it shows everything right on there for us, is used by over 83 departments in Southern Ontario. So this is nothing new.
No, I guess what we're struggling with, from what we're hearing from the public too, and I don't know whether anything has come in recently, the whole idea, and we're sort of operating on, as we've tried to do in the last little while, less is more, in the sense that we don't want to restrict people and have all these bylaws in place and sort of a state where they're always being watched, that they should have some freedoms. Even when we do our official plans and the studies, I think Councillor Zulak can back this up, that the fewer studies that are actually necessary, the better for the developers. Rather than going through all these different expensive studies that they have to do. So I think that's what we have to be convinced of from what we're hearing from the public. For instance, now in the bylaw that's in place with the permits, it's surprising when I read it, I don't think many people within the village of McKellar can actually have a fire, regardless,
right.
Because you have to be 30 meters from it, and the lots aren't that big.
10 meters.
No, 30, 10 30 meters. Is in there.
30 from where?
I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yes, in order to have for me to issue a burn permit, you have to have a radius of 10 meters on all sides from anything that's a burn for a debris permit to be issued.
Yeah.
It's one of the steps, right?
So I think what we're struggling in is trying to accommodate the public itself. And as Councillor Kekkonen said, what has worked in the past with people patrolling themselves and making sure that they are looking after, it's the same thing we went through recently with the sign bylaw, I guess, too, and putting something in place that didn't go over too well. And the idea that maybe people can police themselves more so than we think. I know there are always a few that make it difficult, and that's where rules come from. I was a teacher for 30-some years, so I realized it just takes a few to set up the rules for everybody.
So, yes, absolutely, and I apologize. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
my approach has never been one of penalizing people, like just coming down with a hammer when a rope on a shoulder will do. We're actually fundamentally not changing anybody's rights under the bylaw the way it's written right now.
No, but that's what we're certainly looking at as a council too, the way the bylaw is written right now.
The way it's written right now, I am not proposing any changes whatsoever. I'm proposing an electronic system to help with the bylaw that's the way it is right now. And that's my recommendation. Just makes it easier for the residents, it makes it easier for me, and I think that there's a valuable communication tool here. If council decides that they don't want to pursue this, that's totally fine. We can then look at the amendments to the bylaw that make it less ambiguous, right, and more easy to understand. And better reflects what we want for the rights of people within the township. I've never had any interest in restricting somebody's ability to have a campfire, provided that they follow the rules that were voted on back in 2019. I don't know who voted on it, but whoever was here and they voted on it back in 2019, they put these rules in place, and so we should, unless we're going to change the rules, I'm just striving to propose a system that will make it easier to run.
Yep, no, I appreciate that, and all I'm saying is just a heads up that we are seriously looking at 2019 and revisiting some of the clauses that are in there. Councilor Cuckett.
I agree 100%. That needs to be changed. That was never the spirit and intent to restrict anyone from having. It was specifically for those who were applying for a permit to have a campfire at one of these community events on township property. Somehow it morphed into something that doesn't even say what the intent was. So that has to be reviewed as soon as possible and bring it back to what the intent was.
Councilor Zula?
Yeah, I would agree with that, that we need to look at the bylaw right away and change that, repeal it. And I do have a few people here that have sent emails.
Perfect. I'd love to hear the questions. I've talked
to them. No, they're just opposed to this.
Oh, okay.
They're opposed
sure.
to this.
I've seen both. Yeah,
yes.
I've seen both.
And I received one last night because the person couldn't make it here because they're out of the country and they're opposed to it.
Okay.
But my feelings is the township, I believe, has always been known historically to try and have the least amount of rules and regulations for the residents to abide by. There is already way too much bureaucracy in the day-to-day lives of the people in the federal and provincial levels, let alone the municipality. I don't believe it is our responsibility to make life easier for bylaw or staff, as you mentioned, but my first priority is the ratepayers of McKellar. That being said, I acknowledge the hard work and time staff and bylaw does. Like, I'm not saying anything bad about you. I'm just saying it's not to make your life easier, right?
Sure.
It's to make their lives easier. But as I said, my number one concern is the unnecessary extra layer of bureaucracy, the red tape. And in my eyes, it is another way of keeping track of an individual. McKellar is a small rural community with limited regulations, and that is why people love it here. Just because surrounding townships do this doesn't mean there is a need for it in McKellar.
All I can do is make recommendations and proposals, and we can vote on them, and we can seek public opinion, and ultimately, at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect me. I would suggest that we, if we are going to shut this down, that we immediately propose a resolution to remove campfire and recreational fire from the definition of open-air fire, because that at least gives the wiggle room, the way it's written. I'm supposed to go out and insist on somebody having a permit to cook hot dogs. Mm-hmm. And that's, I really agree, it's never should have been the spirit of this, and somehow it ended up in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, so if we are to call it close to this for the time being, we wouldn't be instituting this, by the way, until at least next year now, and spend the entire summer educating and showing people how to do it. So, because we are currently in the burn season, April 1st is coming on. So, but that would be my recommendation, is that in order to cover the township from a liability perspective, that we make that change effective immediately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else from council on this topic? I want to open that up to the public as well, since it's a committee of the whole. Whether there's anybody online which is to weigh in, or anybody in person with comments? Whether it be on the whole permit or whether it be on the this burn system that you're proposing there, that because as you say, 2019 does exist, and the way it's worded right now, it's just a way of making it easier for the burn permits. But permits are required if you read it literally.
I'm happy to do a ground up rework of this going forward, so that we can make it easy to understand. Just like I did with the ENR bylaw. But for the time being, that change should be pushed through.
Okay. Any comments from the public? Online?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, it's Ted Davis online. I would really favor a fire burn permit. I have a waterfront property, and surrounded by waterfront properties that sometimes get rented out. The people renting it out need firewood in the extreme fire conditions for their renters to have a campfire. And these renters have no idea about extreme conditions or et cetera within the township. So I would really favor having a permit system where you could phone in, you get to give your address that you're going to have a fire, so that the fire department knows where these fires are maybe occurring. I don't see the downside to it.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Somebody else? Well, Councilor Kakadu, go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things I was thinking with in regards to education regarding, you know, campfire safety, fire safety, open air burning, was that you do have a great videographer on the fire department.
Yes.
He provided, you know, made up a fire safety campfire video, and so that it's accessible. So those things that someone might not have situational awareness about or experience with regarding campfires, you can cover those in the instructional video. And so that it's very clear, concise, and it gives those who are not familiar with fire safety, you know, an opportunity to view the fire safety, you know, components of the video. I know that I've heard in the past that people who had first moved up here didn't have any knowledge of fire safety or where to have a campfire pit and that kind of stuff, and they received very good guidance from people who were in the know. So I think that if the experts are putting out this information, and there was previously, I believe, a little more interaction on the Facebook, you know, putting out information like there's a cheat sheet that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That would be posted occasionally so that there is direct interaction instead of people having to sort of, you know, sort of use helpful when things are proactive, so that there's information going out on a regular basis.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that we could actually perhaps look at including in the tax bill, so that everybody gets one, or you know what I mean, just to make sure that it's proactive and sent out once a year, a reminder of different things. I like the video idea. I'll just have a little conversation with Chris about that. Perhaps there's something that we can post on the website that does cover a lot of the fire safety rules and stuff like that.
I was thinking if there was an in-person session that you could host, you know, but I thought the video would be a little more accessible for anyone to view, you know, whenever at their own convenience. It's hard sometimes to get people out to a, you know, on-site type of a training thing. So
sure, I will. I mean, we can endeavor to create something that will work to try to get that message out, and I am available at the market and most public events, or at least the fire department is, with this information. So we are out there in the public, and we can see about becoming a little bit more visible. I do have FDR signs that we've ordered that we are going to put in more areas of the township with the, you know, easy-to-read needle, just to help people get that in front of them when they are doing their daily runarounds and so forth. But it's the big thing for me is just there, it needs to be an easy to understand bylaw that people do go and read. And this platform was one way that I could ensure that people have at least had exposure to it. The fact that nobody's called in to complain about the fact that they need a permit for a campfire yet is kind of indicative of the fact that people don't generally read the whole thing, right? Or else I'm sure we might have had an email or a phone call saying, but the bylaw says this, you know? So for me, that's the challenge, is to make sure that the information gets out there. So and I'll look into different avenues of making that happen and see how we can make it user-friendly.
I agree that we have to get the few little details in the current bylaw corrected ASAP, because
mm-hmm.
that was never the spirit and intent of what that bylaw said.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. So, yeah.
Okay. Any final comments?
So,
council.
So, there is a resolution coming to the table. A motion.
Working on something here. Yeah. Can't do it in committee of the whole, though. We have to come out.
So. Yeah.
Okay, no further comments. We have resolution 24-214, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. They resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby rise and report from committee of the whole at
7:27.
7:27 PM. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Okay, thank you. And we're working on a resolution here.
Do you want me present for that?
Oh, sure. I don't know how long it'll take here.
Not long.
Instituting the, or in regards to voting on the burn permits?
Oh, we can add it to that one.
Resolution 24-215, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct staff to make amendments to bylaw 2019-24 to remove campfire and recreational fire from the definition of open air burning, and further that a permitting system referenced in the bylaw to have a permit for recreational fires on township property.
Be clarified.
Permit for recreational fires and township property be clarified, and further that the draft bylaw be presented at the May 7th regular meeting, further that no electronic permitting system be implemented. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
I believe that the citizens of McKellar Township take fire safety seriously. I reviewed bylaw enforcement reports from 2010 to 2022. The occurrence type complaints 2011-2, this is not charges, this is complaints. 2012-18, 2014-5, 2015-3, 2017-3, 2018-22, 2019-14, 2022-5. I had a deja vu moment with the speed limit changes, and we did not have any basis or facts except for good intentions of public safety. And I agree, and I think it's the same with this. There's good intentions, but there's no facts to base a major compliance expectation of our citizens.
Now, we have to keep in mind, too, just on that, too, that not everything is going to be reported. And so that probably things going on, we talk about various things within the township and bylaws that we do have in place and how there are infractions sometimes that we don't even know about. So, I mean, the figures you're getting, that those are actual complaints that were sent in.
Yes.
Yeah, so there might be others, too, that people just didn't complain. But you're right, we don't have a record of it. It's hard to base anything on it.
And these are complaints. These are nothing that went to court or charges.
No.
So that's pretty significant.
And remember, this in the spirit of, as we talked in the spirit of the bylaw, the spirit of this proposition was a recommendation on the part of me not to limit people's rights, but to provide a different platform that I felt was more convenient and more user-friendly going forward, and essentially modernize the already existing system that we have. So I'm glad that we can amend the bylaw to take that out, and then we don't have to worry about any confusion going forward once we rebuild this.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's over here.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Resolution 24-216, moved by Councilor Keckner, second by Councilor Zulak, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the March 28th, 2024 special meeting of Council and April 2nd, 2024 regular meeting of Council is circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. On to planning matters. We have Resolution 24-217, moved by Councillor Hassman, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent application to create one new rural lot and a lot addition for a driveway at 770 Burnett's Road in part of lots 32 and 33, concession 4, Township of McKellar, as applied for by Christopher Moffitt in application number B05/2024, does hereby support the consent subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of fee in lieu of parkland is required in the Township of McKellar Fees and Charges Bylaw. Number two, confirmation from the applicant's solicitor that the lot addition will merge with the benefiting lands. Three, that 70 Burnett's Road lot be rezoned to the rural RU zone. Four, 911 addressing for the proposed new lot. And five, payment of any applicable planning fees. Now do we have...
Patrick is online.
Patrick's online, great. Okay, turn it over to you, Patrick.
Okay, good evening, Mayor and members of Council. As you stated, B05-2024 for Moffitt is a application to create one new lot on Burnett's Road and a lot addition to an existing waterfront lot and flood plain. There's an existing driveway off of Burnett's Road through this property that the owner would like to use as an alternative access to his waterfront lot. And the Burnett's Road lot, as you stated, is mistakenly zoned waterfront and would need to be rezoned to rural. I'm happy to answer any questions, and I believe the owner may be online as well. Thank you.
Okay, great. We can ask the owner if he or she has any comments at this point.
Good evening, everybody. No comments at this time.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I'll ask Council for comments. I noticed with the 10-meter for the driveway as such, and looking at our zoning, since it is a waterfront lot, I think it does say 20 meters for anything that's on the waterfront and has access to the road. It has to have 20 meters at the road. So I guess I'll ask Patrick this, it would be a major problem to make it a requirement that the 10 meters become 20 meters so that, and it looks to be enough property there that that could actually occur. I believe, I don't, the actual section there we have of the bylaw that states it, it is a 20 meter though, it might, I don't know whether it's 3.14 or what, 1.5. But I'm just thinking that's one thing I think we have to clarify, that it be expanded to 20 meters, even though it may just be used for a driveway, since that's in our actual bylaw. The other question that was posed to me, or certainly passed on, the rural zoning. We've had a number of zonings just as you start in Burnett's Road, and we've also had one up further beyond there. They're all zoned rural as such. And I guess just a concern being expressed that we're getting, it seems to be a built-up area or potentially a built-up area, in which case, in most situations in the past, the built-up areas became rural residential as opposed to just rural, which offers many different opportunities for what you can do, the uses. So I'm wondering if that's another consideration, that these be rural residential so that if some did slip through in the past, we're beginning to see a number of lots being created in this particular section. And I'm just getting a little concerned that they're all rural and the uses that could be used there, maybe we should be limiting the uses. The waterfront uses are already limited. I'm just wondering about a rural residential. I don't know whether Patrick can answer these questions, but I just, whether he had any thoughts on it.
I can try to answer. As far as the road question is concerned, it is proposed to be only a driveway and not really function as what would normally be road frontage, but it is road frontage nonetheless. You are correct. I believe that it may be possible to widen it to 20 meters, but the thought was that there's an existing kind of pathway was to function as a driveway, and that if 20 meters was acceptable, or if 10 meters was acceptable, then that's what would be preferred. I think we could try to rejig things to see if 20 meters would work. And as far as the road residential questions, I think I understand with the pattern of consents along Burnett Road, where you're coming from. And I guess the difference really isn't in lot area or lot frontage, but more in uses. And perhaps you could go to the rural residential in this case. I don't think it would cause any problems for the owner or something site-specific, or something in the future, if there would be more consents along Burnett Road, go to Burnett Road as Metro for Super Road. I hope that answers your questions.
Well, I think that's great. I'm just saying, as you mentioned the pattern of development there, and getting a little concerned that it's a built-up area, which should be in the future, if people all build along there. And so I think the rural residential, you're rezoning anyway, so it's just a question of going from the rural that was proposed to an RRR, and I think that might be more acceptable. As far as the driveway as such, I think what we're looking at there now, since it's going to be added to the waterfront lot, and as an addition, then it should follow the actual bylaw that we have in place, because it becomes part of, it's no longer just a driveway, it's part of that lot. It's a lot addition. So I think it should follow the 20 meters, but I'll put it out to council too before we open it up to the public, whether you have any particular views on it.
Yeah, I was looking at that too, Dave, about the seeing the 10 meters. I kind of questioned it at the time and thought, for what it's worth, I think better planning would to go the 20 meter to stop it. Let's say if they want to do driveway widening or improving in the future, there's space for it. So, and if, and like you say, if it's in the zoning, that waterfront lot should have the 20 meters road frontage, well, then that would help meet that also. So I'd be in favor of enlarging it. The lots are large lots. I don't think it would be an issue for the owner to just widen that lot addition for the